okay? I do not want you to concentrate on my ear while I'm preaching and miss the word of God. So I'll just tell you, basal cell carcinoma, okay, skin cancer. And if anybody tells you that you might have basal cell, don't walk, run to the nearest dermatologist. What started off like a quarter inch scab, they carved out something that's the size of a quarter. Okay, I have not been able to see it all just yet, but I'm going to have a very unique ear for the rest of my life. Now, enough of that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be read verse 3. To verse 9. Now, I do not know what your practice is here, my first time here, but I'm going to ask you to please stand in the honor of reading God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 9. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, for thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for this exhortation that you gave to Joshua. But Father God, we need the same exhortation in our life. I pray, Father God, as I impart thoughts concerning the word and also concerning our everyday lives. I pray, Father God, for my brothers and sisters that they will take to heart this message, be strong and of good courage, and be able to live it out through the strength of the Holy Spirit in their lives. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord gave me this message about 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I was feeling a little bit discouraged because our world is definitely turned upside down from what it was. And I needed to have this message, to be strong and of good courage. But that was 3 years ago. We need, you and I need this message even more now. But what do I mean when I say be strong and of good courage? Right now, as I look at the nation of Israel, it's unfortunate that they do not have their full faith in their God. I mean, some do, yes, but generally as a whole, no. They are being strong right now. That's my opinion. They are being courageous right now on a human level. But what does it mean for us in our lives to be strong and of good courage? First of all, I want to tell you that it's only in the Old Testament that we have these six words. And most of the time, it's directed to Joshua. Once, it was directed by David to Solomon. That's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. But nowhere in the New Testament do we have these six words put together. The word courage is found in Acts chapter 8. The word be strong is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and may be found elsewhere, but nowhere in the New Testament are they found all together. So this is what I mean when I say to you, be strong and of good courage. First, put your full confidence in the Word of God. That's the starting point. Second, be not afraid to act out what you understand from the Word of God. We will have those who oppose us. We will have those who think that we're ridiculous. Stand firm. Now, going back to Joshua, I believe he did exactly that. Accepted what God's word had to say to him and then acted out into his life. But you might be amazed how many times Joshua was told to be strong and of good courage. You may not have time to turn to each one of these Bible verses, but if you can, I believe you'll be enriched by them. First, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I am reading verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. Now that verse only establishes that Joshua was a new leader after Moses. Okay? Now in verse 5, here's the Lord's message to Joshua. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now turn in the same chapter to verse 23, Deuteronomy 31, 23. And he gave Moses, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now, I know we already read these verses, but go now to Joshua chapter 1. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 9. Also, verse 7 had that same exhortation. Only be thou strong and very courageous. But I'm going to verse 9 now. Have not I commanded thee, strong and good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now turn to verse 18, Joshua chapter 1, verse 18. Whosoever be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. I read these verses because I did not know if you understood how many times Joshua was encouraged with these six words, be strong and of good courage. Now, let's ask the question, why was Joshua encouraged this way so often? Well, let's summarize briefly the beginning of his ministry to Israel. He was going to take Israel, especially the warriors, across the Jordan River into the land. But some of those people, those of the tribe of Reuben, Gad, Manasseh, they were going to be leaving their families behind. This could be a distraction to them as they were battling for the land. How is my family doing? And then when he got to the Jordan River, it was overflowing. How are we going to get enough rafts to go across the Jordan River? The Jordan River became a deterrent to the Israelites. Then when they got into the land, the men had to undergo a special operation because they were not physically fit to conquer the land. And with this operation, they were going to be disabled. They were not going to be able to fight the battle that they perceived that they were going to have to do. After the men were healed, then Joshua had to come to a decision. What is it that I'm going to do to be able to win this land over for the Israelites? Four reasons why he needed to be strong and of good courage. Because of distractions, because of deterrence, because of disability, and because of decisions. Let's take a look at, just briefly, if you need to, Numbers chapter 21 and 32. Actually, just turn to 32, verses 1 to 44, and we're not going to read this portion of Scripture. In Deuteronomy 32, we read about how the Israelites conquered Gilead and how they made it their own. While they were in the land, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Manasseh, came to Moses and said, "We want to inherit this land. We want to stay here." Now, people are people. Just imagine if you all were Israelites and you heard these 2.5 tribes say, "We want to inherit this land." What would you be thinking? Be honest in your thoughts. What would you be thinking? "All right, you got your land now. Now you want to settle down and let the rest of the battle for us." You, may I say the word wimp? you guys are just a bunch of cowards. Now Moses saw this, and in wisdom he said, "You can have this land, but all your warriors are going to go across the Jordan River, and they're going to fight with their brethren to conquer that land." And they agreed to it. Now that sounds wonderful, but now think, when all the men went across the Jordan River, who was left behind? Wives, children, older women, old men. Now, which one of them could defend the cities? Which one of them could defend themselves against all those hostile nations around them? Now, I know what a super spiritual Christian would say. "Oh, it's no problem whatsoever. That should not be troublesome to anybody. The Lord God, he would protect them." Are we always certain exactly what the Lord's going to do? For example, I didn't know I was going to get skin cancer. We don't know what's going to happen. Does that bear on the mind? Can that become a distraction? Now, let me explain distraction. A distraction could be something that comes to you and could cause you to quit completely in a certain ministry. Pastor Fissler made mention that we were missionaries over in Ghana. Do you know how many missionaries they go to the field? They stay for a short time. Then one thing or the other, they become distracted and they're home in a very short time. They needed to have confidence in the Word of God, confidence in their calling, be of good courage, be strong and of good courage to be able to stay. Sometimes those distractions could just cause a person to wander away in their mind or to totally quit. Well, the Lord did protect them. We know that. We've read the story. Whatever the reason may be, maybe the other nations were just terrified because they had conquered two of the most strong kings in that area, Sihon and Og, okay? Maybe they knew that if they attacked those nation cities, that the whole nation of Israel would come back and come at them with force. We don't know all, but the Lord did keep them safe. But it can be a distraction. Now, pastors never have distractions, right? Missionaries never have distractions. Well, let me tell you, okay? When we first got to Ghana, three times I was told to go back home. We did not know the language. It was completely different culture. Completely. We built a house for ourselves with the help of the mission, and onto our house came lovable little creatures. The spitting black mamba, excuse me, cobra, and the green mamba. I helped to kill one, possibly two, threw a green mamba over the fence. Are you understanding? That could be a little encouraging. Go home. We face loneliness. I will not tell you about Roxanne's reaction just after we first got there, okay? It took her a whole month to have a breakdown. I had my breakdown before we even left, okay? It gets lonely. You're all by yourself. You walk through the streets. You hear all kinds of voices. You don't understand a word that's going on. It's not easy being a missionary. You can get easily distracted. I remember September of 2005. That was the month of the greatest amount of distraction. I think that was the month that Roxanne was first diagnosed with malaria. Oh, yeah, we were taking the pills, and I had heard about it, but I didn't think it was going to happen to us. The malaria parasite actually built up an immunity to the medicine that we were taking. So we got it, both of us. And then my father was having hip surgery. Now, my father, I loved him. He was a born-again Christian, but he was a cardinal Christian. He thought that hip replacement was going to be like changing a tire on a car. Just take it, yank it off, put it on, and you're off and going. It didn't work out that way, and I knew that my mother was going to need some help, and I wish I could have been there. And then at the end of the month, our first grandchild was born. Now, all you grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. You want to be right there to see that that baby. We were going to have to wait another 9 months. Then another thing that happened that month, you don't know it, but Roxanne was adopted when she was 3 years of age. While we were in Africa, her sister found her. 50-some years not knowing there was a relative out there and finding it out, of course she wanted to be there. I could go on with the stories. Were we distracted? Absolutely. Besides those lovable little snakes, our first week that we were in our new house, we had a delegation come from the nearby village. They wanted to inform us that there were armed robbers in the village, and they were keeping an eye on our property. Yes, there's distractions. Yes, there are times you want to be a coward and run away. When you know what the Lord has told you to do, be strong, be courageous, live out what the Word of God says, and be a testimony of His grace. But that was problem number one that Joshua had. Problem number two, at the time of the year that the Lord led Joshua and the nation of Israel to the Jordan River, the Jordan River was flooding. Usually, what I read was that the Jordan River is only 100 feet across. But in the flooding stage, it can be a mile across. Now, this is written down in Joshua chapter 3 and verse chapter 4. I don't want to take the time. I don't have the time to read all that. Please look at it a little bit later. Many of you know the story. Now, some people might say, Joshua is a really foolish leader. Why in the world is he leading the nation of Israel at this time of the year? He knows that it's the flooding season. Joshua didn't lead the people there. God led the people there. And then they turned their attention on God. God is really a very foolish God. Why in the world would he lead the people, etc.? Okay? God knows exactly what he's doing at time. As the song said it, God's got it. He's got this. So he told Joshua exactly how to do it. The first ones to go down to the Jordan River were the priests. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Their feet stepped into the water, and with that, it stopped flowing. That water kept flowing up from the north, but then it backed up because God's VIPs were going across on dry land. They went across the dry land. As you read chapter 3 and chapter 4, you will read that 24 men were sent to gather rocks out of the Jordan River. 12 of them brought the rocks up on top of the shore and built a little altar there. 12 more built a little altar in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, somebody else is going to say, why did they build an altar in the middle of the Jordan River? What's the purpose of that? One day, a grandfather sitting on the bank of the Jordan River with his grandson said, Grandpa, is that rocks that I see out there in the middle of the Jordan River? It looks somebody built something in there. Did they? Yes, son. That is the altar that our ancestors built in the middle of the Jordan River. This is the site where the nation of Israel walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. And that altar there is a reminder of that fact. Now, somebody might say, oh, that's a ridiculous story, Ken, that you came up with. Well, not necessarily. 30 years ago, the Middle Atlantic states had a drought. It was so dry, it affected the Susquehanna River. It got really low. One person walking along the Susquehanna River found a rock. And carved into that rock, 1811, the last time the water of Susquehanna River was that low was in 1811, okay? It does get that low. And that altar in the Jordan River was there as a memorial to the grace and the greatness of our God. Deterrents come. Sometimes we think of deterrence as something perpetual and brings a complete stop to something. No, deterrence can also be just slowing things down for whatever God's reason is. You may have heard the names Robert and Mary Moffat. They were in the in-laws of David Livingston. Through Robert Moffat, David Livingston was called to Africa, and you may know the rest of the story. Now, the Moffats did not have an easy time when they went to Africa. For years after preaching the gospel of Christ, there were absolutely no converts whatsoever. It got so bad that their mission was thinking of calling them home, calling it quits. But still, Robert and Mary persevered on. A certain group of ladies wrote to Mary and said, "We want to send you a gift. What can we send to you?" She wrote back, "Excuse me. Please send a communion set." Mind you, there hasn't been one convert. Send a communion set. They did so. Just at the right time, that communion set arrived because they started to have converts there, and they were discipling them in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If something deters you a little bit, I remember the printer that was in our house that we bought to print off notes. It gets a little frustrating. Even to me, I'm a kind of impatient person. One night, it just would not work. So I called my my man Friday, Joseph. I said, "What's wrong with the printer?" He opened it up, and there a wall jackal had got caught in the rollers of the whole thing. It was just a deterrent, okay? A wall jackal, by the way, is just a salamander. Okay, walks all over the house eating bugs. Okay, just a deterrent. It stopped me for a little while, but then we keep on going, just like what happened here with the Jordan River. They got on the other side of the Jordan River, and the Lord said to Joshua, "You have to perform an operation on most of the men in the army here." They were not circumcised. Now, God had given a covenant of circumcision to Abraham. He said, "All of your male descendants, and even your males that you purchase as your servants, they must all be identified with you by circumcision." When they first came out of Egypt, they had to pause, and all of the men needed to be circumcised because they had not done so while they were in the land of Egypt. They were circumcised. But evidently, while they went through the wilderness, they were not. Now remember, they needed to be identified with Abraham, okay? So they had to undergo this operation. I hope I'm not making any of you uncomfortable with my words. It's in the Bible this way, Joshua chapter 5, and it had to be done so that they would be associated with Abraham. Now, you can go into the book of Genesis elsewhere, and you can read about the men of Shechem and how they were circumcised. I will not go through that whole story. I will ask this question. How many of you have had an operation and for a while you were disabled? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, okay? They were circumcised. They became disabled. Think about it. They're in the enemy's land. And they're not able to fight for themselves. But this is what God instructed them to do. What's been my emphasis? Be strong, trust the word of God, and of good courage, act out the word of God as the word of God speaks to you. That's what the men of Israel had to do. Now, I cannot tell you when you're going to have times of being distracted. You actually have to figure that out yourself. I'm not going to tell you times when you have deterrence in your life? You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. I'm not going to tell you what times that you are disabled. You know what I'm going to say next. You got to figure it out for yourself. But when you figure it out, you've got to tell yourself, be strong and of good courage. Being disabled. When Hudson Taylor was going to China, he was going by sailboat, of course. He came to a calm. No wind whatsoever. There's several of them on our planet. While he was there in his cabin, a knock came at the door. Come in. It was the captain. Mr. Taylor, I am told that you are a missionary and that you are a godly man. I got to tell you, we're in a serious situation right now. We're in a calm. The ocean is current is taking its toward an island, and we know that there are cannibals on that island. Mr. Taylor, will you please pray for us that God will give us wind? Hudson Taylor looked at the captain and said, yes, I will, but there's something you have to do first. What is that, Mr. Taylor? Hoist the sails.
What are you talking about? Are you crazy? My sailors are going to laugh their heads off. There's no wind, and you say, hoist the sails?
Well, then I'm not going to pray for any wind. Well, after a short discussion, okay, I'll hoist the sails. And off he went. And Mr. Taylor was praying. And a little bit, again, there was at the door. And he invited the person in. Mr. Taylor, are you still praying for wind? He said, yes, I am.
Well, stop. We've got so much wind, we don't know what to do with it.
When you have times that you think you're disabled, God can enable you. Just be strong and of good courage. After the men were healed and it was time to move on, Joshua really didn't know what he was supposed to do. He had to make a decision. In chapter 5 of Joshua, towards the end of the chapter, we read that Joshua went one night and he was looking off at Jericho, the first town that they were going to need to fight, to conquer. And as he was there, he took notice off on the side, there was a warrior. He bravely got a hold of his sword, walked up to the man, and our King James says, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" My paraphrase, okay? Whose side are you on? And then this angel, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, he said, "Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come." My paraphrase, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And he did. You know what the rest of the story was. Sounded ridiculous, didn't it? March around the city once a day. Then one day, seven times. Now, they even marched around the city on the Sabbath. It had to be at one of the Sabbaths. Maybe they even had to march around seven times on that Sabbath. They had to do what God's word told them to do. And the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. And they were able to conquer the land.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this pilgrim land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Now, I want to try to give you encouragement.
For those of you who may be saying, well, Ken, that was a nice sermon, sounds good, but I'll tell you what, Ken, I could never be strong enough. I could never be courageous enough to be able to fight against such enemies as the world, the flesh, and the devil. You'd be surprised what God can do through small things. Samuel Sewall, who was one of the judges of the Salem witch trials, put in his journal the account of a mouse who killed a snake. He gave a story. He said, that's the Lord's lesson to us, that we can conquer Satan. Just today, I saw a very interesting video where a spider caught a snake in his web and was wrapping it up. A small thing that can conquer what is perceived as a mighty thing. And then I saw a second video of a praying mantis who caught a snake and was actually chewing it in half, and it died. Yes, God can use small things to overcome that which we perceive to be mighty. Did you get the message today? Be strong and of good courage. Father God, I did not preach just to my brothers and sisters here at Grace Bible. I preached for myself, and I preached your word. You're speaking to me. Lord, we are feeble. We are small. We do sometimes look at the task in front of us, and we cringe and fall back. But Father God, put in our memories the words that you spoke to Joshua, and put into our hearts the desire that we will be strong in you and very courageous to live out what you have set before us. I pray in your Son's name. Amen.